Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for August 16th, the year 2022. I'm your host, Joe McElvain. If those others on the call want to say their name so that people listening along can associate a name to the voice, now is a good time for that.
Hi, I'm Borja.
Hi, I'm Red.
All right, that is our crew for today. And let's take a look at our auto-generated agenda. Let's begin with... there is an RFC pull request in the RFC's repo 201 that has seen some activity. Let's take a look at what activity that is. Scrolling down, this just kind of needs to be, it needs further discussion. There's been a lot of back and forth in this pull request to introduce empty ranges. And the most recent activity was just Ryan marking it as looking good to him. Is there anything we want to discuss about this RFC today on the call?
No. Yeah, sorry, Stefan. I keep saying I will review this, but then I don't have time. So
Okay. I will keep the label on there kind of as a reminder to all of us to make sure that we take another look.
Yes.
And we will move on to PonyC pull requests 4177. Don't call sleep for schedulers that shouldn't yield is the title of this one. It's a pull request from Sean. It says, prior to this change, scheduler threads that have been waiting for work for, what number is that? That is 10 million or more cycles would always call sleep X / nanosleep, regardless of the value of yield. When the number of cycles was at least 10 million and no more than counting zeros. Anyway, some larger number, this would have sleep called with a zero value. On both Windows and POSIX, calling with a zero value causes the thread to yield. We were yielding regardless of yield value. Yield was only controlling if we would yield for more than our time slice. It wasn't preventing the scheduler thread from giving up current time slice and being rescheduled at the kernel's leisure. The code has been updated to only call sleep when yields are requested. Anybody have comments about this one? Looks fairly straightforward.
Yeah, it looks okay.
Okay, I'm going to approve and remove the label. Looking next at pull request 4173, fix memory safety of array.copy2. This is related to discussion that's been happening about how the array.copy2 basically is not doing length checking under the hood. And so you can call copy2 with invalid start and end indices and bad memory copying, reaching outside of your allocated area, stuff happens, which should not happen. And so there has been some discussion about the right way to resolve this. In particular, 4174, I think, is where most of the discussion is. In issue ticket 4174, there's some back and forth. I think, you know, Sean has been advocating for making these methods partial. Both Stefan and I chimed in about how, well, at least from my perspective, doing a, you know, silently truncating the range requested to the, you know, the largest range that's within the bounds of the space available. Like silently doing that truncation of the range is most consistent from my perspective with how the rest of the array and string methods work when they deal with a range of indices. It seems like the common pattern we have is if there's a single element index that's out of range, it's partial and we raise an error. If it's a range or a span of indices, then we silently truncate that to be at, you know, maximum and minimum of the beginning and end of the range that we have in memory. So that silent truncation is what I think is most consistent, most convenient. But I think Sean wanted others to weigh in, and he said he would go along with whatever the consensus is on this take. So Red, yeah. Ron, I'm not sure if you guys have thoughts on this.
Well, I think, so I would make it partial, but maybe not for every case. Like in my view is that if you try to, like if the first index that you select to start copying from is already out of range, I would throw an error, like similar to what we already do for the apply method, for example. Then if the index is within your bounds, but the amount of copy, like the amount of data you're going to copy is larger than what you have, I would be okay with truncating it. Like I copy all the way until the end of my array and then I stop. But I would vote to make it partial, at least for that specific case where I'm already trying to index something that's out of range, both either like on your array or on the other array.
How do you reconcile that with like, to me, it seems kind of weird to do a mixed, like, you know, sometimes it'll raise an error, sometimes it'll silently truncate. I mean, I get the distinction. I think you were talking about for the start index, it will throw an error if it's out of range, and yeah, for the amount or the final index, it would silently truncate. I mean, I guess like it's documentable, and you know, it could be conveyed, but that behavior is a bit confusing to me. And also, like, I mean, you mentioned the apply method, right? The apply mm-hmm. method is following the kind of single index convention that we have, where mm-hmm. we, for single index things, we raise an error. But if you look at things like trim or trim in place, mm-hmm. that are doing even chop, which has a single split point, will mm-hmm. silently truncate.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Remove n elements from the array will silently truncate as well. So remove from the one index to and then removing a count starting at a certain index will truncate on both ends of that range.
Mm. Yeah.
Like we just have a ton of stuff dealing with ranges of indices that all silently truncate. And so to me, it seems weird for copy to and copy from to follow a different convention. To me, it seems more established for a range of multiple elements to be silently truncated than to be raising an error. Like, I don't know of an example where we do raise an error for something similar.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. And I was looking at the places where we actually use this method, so at least on the standard library. And it would make some methods that are not partial now, it would make them partial. So like it would affect all the things in the standard library. I do feel that trying to start range frame outside the your allocation, that has to be an error somehow. Like if I'm requesting you to copy something that already is outside of the range, I wouldn't expect nothing to happen. I would expect like I do expect something to be at that position when I say it. So it feels consistent with the apply method in that case, but so for so I think prim and chop came later. So maybe it introduced a new convention, but yeah, I'm not sure what, which one to use in this case. I guess if there's already a precedent of using truncation for ranges, then maybe it makes sense to do the same. But it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a question of like, you know, earlier conventions versus later conventions, I can try to find something that is that came earlier.
I mean, not like the fact that one convention is older than the other holds like more value. It's just that I guess we should try to make the API consistent. So if all the places that we use ranges now we're doing truncation, then maybe it makes sense, because I would expect that maybe in most cases, if you're doing like these copy methods, you're inserting before that it has the length that you expect or something like that. So maybe in that case, doing an error doesn't really bite you much, I don't know.
Another option to consider, well, I guess before I say that, I did find something that's been around since basically the beginning, which is string.substring. And that one is an example. I mean, it's similar to trim, but it copies to a new string. So string.substring is an example of one that will silently truncate the range, and that's been around since like the beginning. So I think to me, I don't think it's a matter of like, you know, older methods are partial and newer methods are silently truncating. Like we have old that silently truncate for ranges of indices, and I'm not aware of any method that deals with a range of indices that we have that will do partial on, you know, those indices being out of bounds. So like to me, that would be a new precedent being set, because I'm in my mental subdivision, I'm dividing it based on single element versus multi-element. And I'm not aware of a precedent for multi-element having that partial behavior. Yeah. But I also wanted to say that I understand kind of what you're getting at, where you have like you in these cases of trim and trim and substring and things like that, what you're getting out on the other side is something that, like, you know, if you do an out of range trim, then what you get is a string that has length zero, right? Or if you get an out of range substring, then what you get is a substring that has length zero, and it's maybe you didn't expect it to be an empty length. Like if you end up being surprised by the fact that it was out of range, like maybe you're like, oh, this string's empty, I wonder why. But then it's a little easier to see the problem than in the case of copy two, where it's like you expect to see data, like the data in your target, your destination buffer was silently not overwritten. And I could see how that could possibly be more subtle or harder to trace than a string or array result that's like, oh, this is empty for some reason. Oh, it's empty because I'm out of range. It's a little bit, you have to do more troubleshooting to say, huh, this data doesn't seem to be what it is. Oh, it doesn't look like it copied. Well, why didn't it copy? Oh, because it was out of range. There's like an extra step of thinking there that could make it more tricky. I wonder if it would make sense to change the API a bit to add, I'm looking at the method now. Right now it has no return value. Copy to returns none. I wonder if it would be appropriate to have it return the number of elements that were copied. And that would at least give you a clear way to check of like it becomes obvious. It becomes more obvious in the API signature. Hey, this is something that may not always copy the full amount that I wanted. And if I want to make sure that it copied properly, I can check the actual length that was copied. And that's consistent with like, I don't know, C APIs where you say, I want to read a certain number of bytes into this buffer at a maximum. And it says, okay, I won't read more than that maximum, but I may read less if I don't have more bytes for you, that sort of thing. That might be a reasonable compromise.
Yeah, it's, I think that works. I find it in other languages that have this convention of returning the amount of data that was copied. In most cases, what I'm doing is like, if it doesn't copy what I expected to copy, then something is wrong. Like in most cases, I don't care about the case where it copied less. Like, okay, if you're dealing with networks, then that's different because they may not have like capacity or something. But when you're copying something, like, yeah, I don't know in those cases if it's something meaningful, like if you copy less than what I asked, what are you going to do with that information? Like, are you going to try again? I don't know what I would expect. That probably depends on what I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to look at places where copy to is currently used in the code base and think about what that would look like. I know that it's not exhaustive all the things you could do with it, but it would at least be a concrete example we can talk about. So, like right now, it's only used in Buffered Reader in the standard library. There may be other places it's used. I mean, we could maybe do a search for Pony Code on GitHub that uses it, for example. But for now, looking at the standard library, so it's going to copy. So it's getting a block of contiguous memory out of the buffered reader. The buffered reader has some chunks that came in from the network. The chunk boundaries may not be where you want them to be. And you want to say, I want to get the next N bytes out of the buffer as a contiguous chunk that I can pass around as a single array. And that will include copying, some part of the first chunk and then all of the second chunk and then all the way up to near the end, and then some part of the last chunk that gives me the amount that I need. And in this case, so I'm looking at buffered/reader.pony on line 139. So it's determining the copy length as what is, need is the remaining. Need is how much more you want to copy, and available is the data size minus the current offset. Where is offset coming from? It comes from. Let's see. Note. Okay, so this is like. Okay, yeah. So So on line 139, it's doing outside of the copy to method what the new version of the copy to method would be doing inside. So if you were to rewrite this code with that proposed change to the copy to method, you wouldn't need the copy len variable on line 139. You would just pass in need, the need variable, the needed amount, as it's like here's the maximum of what I need. I need to get 5,000 more bytes from somewhere. And this chunk that I'm copying from may only have like a few hundred bytes. But I'm gonna pass 5,000 as the copy amount into the copy to method. And then from the results, the return value, it will tell me how much was actually copied. So I asked for it to copy 5,000. It actually copied 200. And so now I need to just basically line 152 that is doing I equals I plus copy len. Line 143, you'd say let copy len equal the results of that method, copy to, and then you would just do I equals I plus copy len of the actual amount that was copied. And so in this use case, at least, like, it fits in naturally. It actually reduces the amount of code around it, and that return value that tells you how much is copied is useful. Like, right, I no longer need to try to ensure ahead of time I'm asking for the right amount to be copied. I just say, here's the most that I can possibly, get in this, that I'm possibly asking for, and give me whatever you can. And the return value would tell me, how much it actually gave. Yeah. So I think it's actually a nicer API with that return value in place. It removes work from the caller, which would be redundant work in terms of a hot pass situation, right? If you have the bounds checking happening both before the call and inside the call, then that's unnecessary work. I think it's a nicer, it's an example of where that the return value is actually useful. And it's not it's not an error case to have that be less than what you needed. It's within the range of expected behavior that could be less than what you needed, and you account for it in your logic that uses this method. And it's like, I'm just trying to fill this buffer. I'm going to get as much as I can from each chunk. And when the chunk is exhausted, I move on to the next chunk. And I know when I've gotten enough, when the total of all of those call, the result value of all those calls, like when the total of that equals the amount that I needed, then I know I'm done.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. So I guess with that return value, we cover the cases where the source doesn't have the index that you pass is outside of your range, or you truncate the range. But what if you try to, so what if on the destination the index that you gave is past the length? So right now I think we are extending the destination and putting it there, right?
I'm not sure. Extending the destination would make sense, but I'm not sure what we're doing right now. So let's take a look.
I think we are.
Yeah, it does reserve, right? The destination, the first line of copy to does a reserve to make sure there's enough space in the, so there's no out of bounds concerns for the final part of the array, although it is a tricky question. Again, this kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier about there being kind of a conceptual distinction between the start index being out of range and the final index being out of range, because if your start index here is out of range, it can't do that reserve properly. Or whatever, whatever is between then and there, right? There's nothing to put in the space between the current length and the new index that you want to write if your new index is well beyond the current length.
Yeah. I mean, right now I would fill it with random memory, and those indexes would be garbage. But I guess it's not that different from...
That's very bad, though, for anything that's not a number.
Yeah. And I think it... Yeah, because right now it would be as if we were using this undefined function, but we only allow that for numbers. So yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah. So, like, the only reasonable recovery here, like the only like soft or graceful recovery that's reasonable, I think, is making sure that destination index is no greater than the current length of the destination. So that would be like a silent truncation of that one. But then there were that wouldn't make you copy less bytes, though. It would be...
No, I mean, so if you're past the length of the destination, you're just not copying anything, right? You would return zero, and that's
it. No, I would truncate the destination index to the maximum, like the maximum one that makes sense. So the size of the current array, and then copy the full, you know, copy as much as possible from the source onto the end of the destination. So it's not going to end up at the destination index that you expected it to end up at. And that's kind of a weird point. That's what's not ideal about it. But it will be copied on there. I think this is the weirdest one. Like, this is the weirdest case. And I admit that's definitely not ideal.
Yeah. I mean, if you're interested in doing the copy, like basically appending to the other array, you have other functions for that. You have I think you have concat, or do we have that? Append. Yeah, we have append. So
append is much less efficient. And I think the current use case for copy two that we were looking at in buffered reader, I believe this is always copying onto the end of... I'm going to try to read this again, though. So I starts as zero on line 131. Your while loop is while I is less than length. So length is the amount you want to copy. So yeah, I starts as zero. And yeah, this is always appending onto the end of the destination buffer. It's never choosing like a different index. And like, so maybe being able to choose that index is unnecessary flexibility here and could be removed, maybe, at least for this use case. Like, this use case could just use an optimized append. Wait a second. Copy to, like, I'm going to step back here and get a... Okay, never mind. That makes sense. Sorry. I had a brief freak out moment about non-numeric elements, and that may be getting screwed up here, but no, it's not getting screwed up. So ignore that. I think this, the buffered reader use case could potentially use a more optimized version of append. But also, like, does our append have a way to specify the start index where you're beginning the append? Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, so append. Why is append so inefficient?
I don't know.
Why is it being done that way? It's being done element by element. Yeah. Why is it not just doing a copy to, like the equivalent of copy to? What am I missing? I'm surely missing some reason why it has to be this way.
Well, isn't copy to also doing it that way?
Because append can take a read seek or read element. Like append is not taking an array. So you don't know it's contiguous memory. Yeah. It's just taking an interface. So if we had a method that was append array instead of append, or sorry, like in addition to append that we would use here instead of copy to, it takes the, and by the way, append is already silently, it's another example of silent truncation, by the way. But we're not dealing with complications with the destination indexes. The source indexes are being silently truncated. So it's an example of like that being the precedent for behavior of source indexes. But I agree, the destination indexes is what's making this weird. And but if we had a version of append where the first argument had to be an array that was contiguous memory, we can copy it just as efficiently as copy to. Buffered reader could be using that. And I want to try to do a search on GitHub and look for other examples of copy to.
Yeah.
If this is like really the only place that's being used, like maybe the copy to API is just too fraught, or maybe I'm fine with making it partial if there's literally nobody using it because append array could replace that use case. But let me
yeah, I mean for me the this thing with the destination index is the probably the weirdest thing that we have to think about, because like either you append, you're overriding things that are in there, but you don't want to leave gaps. So
we do have some other uses of copy to out there on GitHub. One of them in particular is Valbytes. Let's take a look at Valbytes. Because this is an official PonyLang library. So Valbytes uses copy to for what purpose? I gotta find it, I guess. It implements copy to. I actually don't know much about what the Valbytes library is doing. Yeah, I haven't dealt with this one. But I think it's, if I had to guess, it's like modeling. Anyway, I don't want to guess, but something to do with like multiple chunks of contiguous memory sort of appearing like contiguous memory, or being treated like an array. I think that's kind of the idea that's going on here, but I don't know for sure here. So
I believe that's the case. I believe it's where if you've got like three, if you've got like three or four, or well, an arbitrary amount number of continuous segments of memory in arrays, then Valbytes will let you treat that with the API as if it's one. is how I understand it.
Okay. So copy to so the library implements copy to probably mainly to be more like an array, but it also uses copy to internally. And let's see. So copy to takes destination, source index, dest index, length. Okay. So starting at, so I'm looking at in the Valbytes library at byte arrays.pony, line 191. This is the implementation of the trim function. The in the expensive case where a new array needs to be allocated, it creates a new array of a certain size, and into that new array it copies from the trim offset all the way to left. It's always here copying onto the destination index. So, sorry, this is another case that could be served by append being like an efficient version of append. So, and then there's an implementation of copy to, which cannot, like, kind of by definition, because of its flexibility of allowing you to specify the destination index, it can't be served by a method that takes away that flexibility. But this is just an implementation to make it match and look more like array. So I'm not too concerned about that in terms of like as a use case. Taking a look now, there's people who have done an advent of code stuff with copy two, including you, Borja. 2019 February, main.pony.
Yeah, I don't remember that code at all.
But yeah, this this would also be served by append, being efficient.
I think in most cases, either, if I remember correctly, it either was a way of completely cloning an array, so either I copy everything or I'm appending, but like I said, I don't remember.
Yeah, those end up being kind of the same use case, right? Some more advent of code stuff. Somebody wrote a WebSocket decoder that's appending as well. Yeah, it starts at zero, it adds every time. So I know this might be a little bit tedious, but it seems like a useful exercise that, yeah, these are all, like you said, all of them that I looked at so far, they're just here to, here's an example in Wallaroo. Let's take a look. See if I can figure out what's going on here, because this is a fairly complicated looking piece of code relating to hash partitions. I'm in lib/wallaroo/core/routing/hashpartitions.pony. So there's a new sizes array that's created empty, and we're pushing things onto it. We are copying two. So we have I. Where does I come from? For I in range 0 to total length. This is appending as well. It's a pretty complicated way to append, but Okay. I don't see any use cases out there. I'm almost to the final page here. I don't see any use cases out there that are okay. Here's one more Waller Labs Pony Kafka. Let's take a look at this one and then we'll call it finished. Okay, leader change, pending messages. We have, yeah, that's a pending. It uses the size of the array as the destination index. And the other one is appending too. Okay. Yeah, they're all appending. It's just an efficient append. My recommendation, I guess, is that we remove the copy to method. That's going to break some code, but making it partial is also going to break code, right? Like, I think I'm reasonably convinced that the destination index being out of range is sufficiently weird to warrant being partial. Even if the source, I would probably still maintain the source index and length. Well, source index could be maybe more arguable, but the length should definitely be silently truncated. But I also don't think that like any of these use cases really need the flexibility of specifying the destination index. There are probably cases you could come up with that would. I'm just not seeing them out there in the wild right now. So making it partial is a reasonable thing to do. Well, I think we have to talk about exactly like what that would imply. Like, but either removing it or making it partial is fine with me, because as far as I'm concerned, like the main thing that I want is for there to be an efficient, non-partial way to do this common use case.
Mm-hmm.
And if we add append array that is capable of doing that, or something along those lines, to me that pathway makes the most sense, but others can chime in as well.
Yeah, I left a comment on the issue about this outside of like destination index outside of range, because it also like an example that there's a segfault in if we leave a gap. So yeah, I think, I mean, for this specific case, I would make copy to and copy from partial just for this case, because I think they're useful on its own, not only for append, but I've used them for some other things, but yeah, it would need some exploration on my part of code that I've forgotten about.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see anything published on GitHub that didn't fall into one of those two use cases, but or I guess one use case. But yeah, I just did a quick search for copy from now. Copy from is probably a similar story where it's probably being used for append, but it's interesting. We need to dig into exactly. Anyway, I don't think we have time on this call to like fully settle like what the desired behavior for copy to and copy from is. But I would hope for at the same time we're making a breaking change to make it partial or remove it, depending on what the determination is. I would like to also introduce a new method that has no destination index flexibility it is also not partial.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And then the release notes can suggest, using that method if it works for you, or using the now partial copy too if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we decide to remove it. Again, I'm not strongly opinionated on keeping or removing it, because I think it's, yeah, just not seeing a lot of use out there in the wild. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, well, let's take a look at, so you left a comment in the ticket. I guess I'm just going to quickly leave. Okay, sorry, the ticket would be 4174.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm just going to follow up with your comment. Yeah, we definitely don't want to leave a gap in between. I don't think there's any, there's like, yeah, it's like a current bug that's there. Right. But, I'm just going to make a comment that, we discussed this a lot on the sync call, and my basic thought is I don't mind removing copy to and or copy from, and I also don't mind making them partial, as long as we also provide a new method append array to serve the use case, or yeah. I think the dest index is where the main need for partialness comes from. And there's no example I could find on GitHub out in the wild that needed to copy to any destination index besides just the end of the destination buffer. These use cases can't currently use append because it's non-optimal due to not requiring the source to be contiguous memory.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
If we add a new method that like append that requires that uses a contiguous source buffer, I think it removes all current use cases of copy to and copy from in the wild. Okay. We are out of time, I suppose. Sorry to get bogged down in this. I think it was important, but we spent a while covering this. So does anybody just have anything else they want to raise here in the last few minutes to talk about before we head out?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. Well, thank you both. And thank you for anyone listening along to the recording later. We'll see y'all next week. Bye.